supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at pennmedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
Welcome to this special edition of Voices in the Family with Dr. Dan Gottlieb. I'm Larry Roblin. No surprise, Dr. Dan and I are well past high school. And shh, don't tell anyone, well past even having kids in high school. What's changed over the last decade or so? How do young people feel? What are their lives like? So Dr. Dan invited 10 area teens entering their junior and senior years to our WHYY studio to talk about what's on their minds. Yep, that's 10 energetic teens coming from various high schools, some private, some suburban, some inner city. And joining Dr. Dan is Marty Gillen, founder of Speak Up, a resource for youth educators and parents encouraging communication about difficult issues confronting our youth.
Marty, you've spoken of teens from all walks of life. What common themes do you see, if any?
Enormous amount of stress going on right now in these young generations' life. We see lack of communication with their parents. Social media has kind of taken over the role of communicating through their fingers. And we see depression is a huge thing in today's society. We're losing too many kids, Dan.
Yeah, it seems to be getting worse. Mm-hmm. So let's talk with you, Samantha, Sam. Tell us about where you go to school.
I go to Cristo Rey Philadelphia High School, which is a...
Cristo Rey?
Yeah, Cristo Rey. It's on Broad Street in Duncannon. It's a college prep school, and it helps you, like, prepare for college. And it also has a work-study program where each student has a job throughout the year, and it helps you pay for your tuition.
Is it free?
No. You pay, I want to say, about 10% of your tuition, and your job pays most of the rest.
Wow. So your family has to be pretty devoted to send you to a school like that?
Well, my mom sees a lot of potential in me, and Cristo Rey is a school of opportunities.
So just briefly, Sam, tell us what your life is like. Happy, stressful, difficult, all of the above?
Well, like life. Life is a roller coaster. So sometimes I have good times. I have bad times. I just had a bad time 2 years ago. My little brother committed suicide, so that's one major thing that I have to deal with.
It's kind of heartbreaking, huh?
Definitely.
2 years ago, I would imagine there's still a hole in your heart.
Yeah, I was a freshman in high school.
Oh, my God. Yeah, a rough time in your life, too. Any young person, freshman in high school.
Yeah, just going to high school is a big experience.
Yeah. And especially this one with all the stress.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you.
What did it do to your family?
Believe it or not, it actually brought my family real, like, closer.
Tell me about what the future looks like to you, Sam.
I plan on being the first graduate of college. So education has always been there for me in my life. Like, it's the only stable thing in my life. So I plan on continuing that in my life.
Do you feel an extra burden being the first in the family? Do
yeah.
you feel like in a way you're carrying them?
My mom, she sees a lot of potential in me. So she pushes me to go further and further, and I really don't want to let her down. So she tells me all the time, like, there's no choice. You have to go to college. Like, you can do so much in your life. You have to go to college. And I don't see anything else like I would do with my life.
Do you feel the burden of her expectations? I mean, what if, heaven forbid, you know, you don't like college or it's not right for you?
I don't see it as a burden. Education's always been there. I like learning. I think I would really enjoy college. I like to, further my education. I want to get somewhere in life. Like, I want to be successful.
Where do you want to get?
I just want to be stable. I want to be happy. That's my main goal.
How do you get there? What's happiness mean?
Contentment, honestly, with my life. I want to have a stable job, good income. I want to have a family. And I feel like college will get me there.
Hmm. So the goal is happiness.
That's the goal.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I spoke years ago to a group of young people going into their senior year. And, oh, my God, the pressure they put on themselves. And I have a feeling maybe there's one or two people in this room that put pressure on themselves, if not everybody. But it was relentless. They had to get into the right college. They had to pick the right major. They had to. And I said, why? I kept asking why and why and why. And they got to just what you said, so we can be happy. And I said, so what's happiness if that's the goal? And it's a reasonable goal. We all want that. What is it to you? People couldn't answer. They couldn't answer that question. They were working so hard to get to something, but they didn't have a sense of what that was. And I promised myself that would be the question I would ask everyone. What is happiness to you, and how do you get there? You might not know it off the top of your head, but that's what I want to know. I want to know that about my life, too, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do adults need to know that they don't know? What is it they don't get?
I think adults today take teenagers for granted. Like, they don't see the potential that we have. Like, we struggle. We are stressed. Like, sometimes I'll say, for example, I'm tired, and my mom will be like, you didn't do anything today. I'm the one that's tired. I had a 9-to-5 job. But I went to school today. I woke up at 5:30 again. I had a job right after school. I'm tired. Like, they don't get it.
What can they do that would make your life easier, better?
They just need to accept us for us. Like, teenagers, they're trying to get to the place they are. And sometimes they act like they haven't been in our situation. So I feel like they need to accept us, teenagers, as teenagers.
So here we are again, Marty. You know, parents don't get us. We've heard this complaint for, I'm guessing, 100 years. But there's something about this generation in this age that feels different to me. You?
Yep, I agree. But we say to the kids, my husband and I had a son that passed away, and we were best friends. And yet I had no idea the struggles that were going on in his life. So we try and encourage your generation, who are amazing, by the way, to talk to your parents and let them know what's going on in your life, because they only know what you tell them. So when I hear you say your parents don't get it, it makes me sad, because they probably don't get it, because none of us are talking about it. Does that make sense? Because they don't understand your life unless you tell them what's going on.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to a special edition of Voices in the Family. I'm Dan Gottlieb. Well, summer's over. School is back in session. So today we're talking to area teens about what their lives are like. What do they want adults to know about their lives, and how can we help them? Joining me is Marty Gillen, founder of Speak Up, a group that works to improve communication between teens and adults in their lives. Jared.
Yes.
I want to know a little bit about your life. You go to Abington.
I do.
High school. Are most of the kids at Abington School going to college next year?
I believe a lot of them are.
And you?
I will be going into the United States Coast Guard.
So that puts you in a minority.
Yes.
What's that like?
It's very hard because you don't have many people in that group to back you up, per se. You're kind of by yourself, and you need to figure out how you're going to keep communicating with these people when they're going off to school and you're going to go, you know, protect the country.
Do you feel judged by some of your friends?
Yeah, I do. It seems like a lot of them aren't so much about protecting the United States. They're more like, I'm just going to go do what I want. It's all about me, 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 whereas I want to keep America safe. And I'm a big family person. I have a little brother, and I'm all about keeping them safe so he can live the life that he wants to live.
I'm curious, Jared, about where this attitude came from.
I have no idea where it came from, and that's just where my interest has been. And since then, I've been all about helping people. I became a firefighter. I'm a lifeguard. I'm finishing up my EMT cert right now. So it just came out of nowhere, and I've stuck with it and built myself up to, you know, the goal that I want to reach.
How are you doing all this stuff? I'm exhausted listening to you.
I wish I had an answer for you. I make the best of the time that I have. I go to school all day long, you know. I go to a technical school to continue learning more about firefighting and law and EMS. And then right when my school day is over, I'm right at work to build up everything that I have. And so when I finally do graduate high school and get out of the Coast Guard, I have multiple backup plans. You know, I can always go back and become a firefighter. I can always become an EMT. I can always become a police officer. I have these backup plans, but I don't know where the time comes from for me to do it. I just find it.
Well, so I would take a wild guess that you've got some stress in your life?
Absolutely.
Where's it come from? What's it like?
It just comes from not being able to breathe for a second. I don't have that time to just step back and relax and debrief everything that's gone on throughout the day. You know, I'm at school all day long, and then it's work, and it can be very stressful, especially if I'm struggling in school. If I failed a test or I had a really hard time with a test, and then I can't go home and relax, I have to go to work, and then that can be a stressful day. It all just builds up.
I have to apologize for this, right, for what I'm about to say.
Sure.
I have to, for the moment,
sure.
Be a protective adult and just ask, why? Why don't you give yourself time to breathe?
To keep myself out of trouble, truthfully. Anybody can go outside and get tied up into the wrong things, and I look at it, and as well as my parents, stay as busy as you possibly can so you don't get yourself into trouble and you can better yourself.
A lot of your friends in trouble at mm-hmm. Abington?
Absolutely.
How so?
Drugs, any type of illegal activity. You know, they can go out and they can race their cars during the nighttime, or they can utilize drugs, and that's not what I'm going to get myself into.
Have you ever experienced depression or any of your friends?
A lot of my friends have, unfortunately. I did when my parents were going through their divorce, especially when I just got finished my firefighter certification. I felt like, you know, I accomplished something huge in my life, and then my life kind of got ripped in half a little bit. So I was depressed then, but I didn't let that take over my life. I knew I had to better myself.
What do adults need to know that they don't know?
Teens have stress too. We do. The parent works that 9 to 5 day, and they come home stressed out, whereas us teenagers that are still in school go to school all day long and then may go to work, and we're doing more than that 9 to 5.
Marty, let me come back to you. Is this one of the themes you hear, that parents just, they don't get how much stress I live with?
What we hear from the youth, which really touches my heart, is that they tell us that their parents are so stressed that they can't tell them the stress and depression that's going on in their life. Do you agree with that?
I do.
So that, again, stops the communication.
Correct.
So that's been a thing that we hear across the board.
Yeah, parents protecting children protecting parents, and that ends communication. Mm-hmm.
You're listening to a special edition of Voices in the Family with Dr. Dan Gottlieb and his conversation with area teens about their lives. With him is Marty Gillen, founder of Speak Up, an organization dedicated to improving communication between young people and the adults in their lives.
The environment that we've set up has helped parents hear other kids other than their children, and for some reason, a light bulb goes off. They can't hear it from their own child. But if they hear it from another child, sometimes it helps.
Coming up, Dr. Dan explores family issues and how to tackle that communication divide. I'm Larry Roebling. Stay tuned. Welcome back to this special edition of Voices in the Family with Dr. Dan Gottlieb. I'm Larry Roblin. Dr. Dan got together in studio with 10 area high schoolers about the new school year. Marty Gillen, founder of SpeakUp.org, joined him. And these young people were loud and clear. It's not just school that is a stress. Family issues also weigh heavily.
Tell me about your life. I want to know the good news and the bad news.
I guess my life is hard rather than good. I go to school and I'm alone. I stay to myself. I come home. I work.
Where do you work?
The Boys and Girls Club.
Boys and Girls Club of Camden.
Yes.
Where do you live?
What I live part, in Camden.
What East, part of Camden?
East Camden.
Tell us about it.
It's hard. It's like everyone's either bad or quiet. And you'll never hear from them.
Dangerous?
Yeah.
Are you afraid in your neighborhood?
Sometimes.
You've lived there your whole life?
Yes.
So what do you do with that fear?
Sad to say, you get over it. It's like kind of normal over the years.
Why do you say sad to say?
It's sad, like, to hear a gunshot is like, okay, I know what that is. You just, it's regular to you.
Do you have any place you can go to
My
talk
job?
About this? The Boys and Girls Club?
Yeah.
All right. So, what's your job like? What do you do?
I am a youth worker, so I work with the kids.
What do you do?
During the school year, we help them do homework, and then after homework hour, we just play with them.
You like it?
Yeah.
Does social media help you feel more connected, or is it more of a pain in the butt?
I had social media in the past, but I deleted all my accounts because it's just too much drama.
Too much drama?
Yeah.
You're a teenager. How are you going to get away from that?
That's why I stayed to myself.
Seriously, is that why?
Yeah. It's always he said, she said, and posting fights, and just too much drama.
Do you have close friends? Any close friends?
No.
Do you miss that?
I do. I used to have a lot of friends. I used to be social. I used to be outgoing.
When did that stop?
Probably in middle school, when things started, like, to change.
How so?
I left my elementary school going into another family school, and it was just, like, the same. It's just, it got worse, more of, boyfriend and girlfriend stuff. And it's just like, why? What's the point? I'm still a kid. I don't want to do that. And it's like pressure, like, well, you like him. He likes you. Go out with him. And it's like, no. So once you say no, it's just like, you're the eyeball.
What's your future look like?
I would like to say good. I'm starting to invest money for where I want to stay at in the future.
Tell me about your home life now.
It's kind of rough. My dad wasn't there for me when I was young, and he's here now. So, like, kind of building our relationship is kind of rocky.
Hmm. Mom, siblings?
I have a mother, but she's there, but not. She's physically there, but not there.
Any siblings?
I have an older brother.
Tell me about him.
He moved out when he was 13 into my grandmother's house. So, you know, when my mom would not, you know, not be there, my brother would come sneak back and, like, take care of me, serve me, make sure I'm good.
So, in a way, are you close to your brother?
Very close.
You have a lot of stress in your life.
Yeah.
How do you cope?
I use coping skills from a hospital I've been to. So I'll read, write, color, clean, take long walks, play with my dog.
Does that make you happy?
Yeah.
You're okay. I want to come back to that theme of happiness. What do you want in life? What are your dreams? What are your fears?
My fear is not being happy in what I'm doing. I would love to be in a good career that I'm happy in doing, not just doing it and for the money or because it's a good job.
Do you have a sense of what you love, what's important to you in life?
I like helping people, but in like a career, I don't know what I might want to do.
Thank you. We might double back, and I might annoy you even more.
Okay.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. So, Caroline.
Yes.
Tell us about your family.
So, I'm the youngest of four kids, and I have a mom and a dad, but it's a little bit complicated. My dad is a trans female, so she transitioned from male to female.
What was that like? What is that like?
Weird, to say the least.
Can you stretch that word out a little bit?
Yeah, well, it's been hard because I didn't really know what to expect when she told me that she was going to transition. And so it's been difficult for my entire family, both just my immediate family and my extended family, to figure out what to do and how to react.
I'll bet you're having difficulty with people judging you, looking at you funny.
Yeah. I used to notice it more, like in public places and stuff, people would look. But I've started to kind of get used to it, and I've started to ignore it, because I realize if you pay too much attention to what those people think, you can't have, like, any fun. I went through some depression in general. It wasn't just about my dad. I ended up talking to a therapist about it.
So you have a therapist you can talk to?
Yeah.
You said you didn't know, and your family doesn't know what to think, what to feel. Do you know what you do feel?
I think I feel a lot all the time. I'm kind of one of the people that always feels very strongly. So I feel anger a lot because it's like, why me? But I'm also happy that this has happened because it's opened my eyes to a completely different group of people that I didn't really know existed before.
When you feel depression or stress or anger, can you go to your family or are you protective of them?
I'm very protective of them. I used to not go to them about stuff like that. And so now I do because I realize it's more helpful for everyone involved to go talk to them. But there are still times when I don't.
How come?
Sometimes it's because it's something that I want to keep to myself. And sometimes it's because I'm afraid that they're going to think differently of me.
How so?
Well, with depression, there are a lot of thoughts that come into your head. So
scary thoughts.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
And so you're kind of afraid that they won't believe that they can, like, leave you alone. And I like being alone sometimes. So that was, like, scary to think about.
Yeah. Do you think you and your family could ever have a discussion about what depression really feels like? And
I think we could. I think it's hard because my mom can sometimes be a very logical person, and so she doesn't always understand, like, what it feels like. And then my dad definitely knows what it feels like. I think we could eventually talk, but I think that's kind of farther in the future.
Any friends?
Yeah.
You can talk to.
Yeah, I have really close friends. They have very different families than I do, but they've gone through depression as well. So we're able to kind of help each other through it.
How would you rate your life? A to F.
Like a B. B plus, it's pretty good. But it's just there are those, like, really difficult moments.
Your grade doesn't match what you've been talking about.
No, because
now maybe we missed something.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, I think I also just have a very positive outlook on life, too. So I think that I'm always looking for the good rather than the bad. And I always want to try and keep the happiest outlook I can.
What do adults need to know?
I think that they just need to know that we are people, too, and that we have feelings and thoughts that are just as legitimate as theirs.
Not just kid thoughts.
Mm-hmm.
Real thoughts.
Yeah.
And feelings. Christina.
Yes.
Anything I didn't ask, anything that you think is important for the adults listening to know?
Not to forget, I know they've been teenagers, and they should have the sense of what we go through, but it's even harder now because of how society sets it up and how social media sets it up. So kind of not forget, you know, it's still hard. You can't just grow up and you're an adult now and forget what you've been through. It's hard.
If you had an adult in your life that you really trusted, what would you like from them?
The support. Just not say, you know, I'm here, you can talk to me, and then when I go to you, you're not there.
Mm. Consistency.
Right.
Caring.
Right.
Yeah. What I'm hearing from both of you is that family difficulties to the extreme, and you're not alone, you know? You're not alone. Marty, I have a feeling that you hear that a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Great family difficulties.
Yes, we do hear it a lot. And the environment that we've set up has helped parents hear other kids other than their children. And for some reason, a light bulb goes off. They can't hear it from their own child, but if they hear it from another child, sometimes it helps. Like sometimes you can talk to another parent better than your parent. Has that ever happened to you?
Yeah.
So that's kind of how our program works, and it's been pretty powerful. But it's loneliness to me, I think, is pretty heavy. So I just hope you all find somebody you can talk to.
Any of you guys sitting around the periphery here have any thoughts? Greg?
Just to touch on something that I believe Christina brought up, I think that when it comes down to stress, there's necessary stress and unnecessary stress. Obviously, when you go to school, there's going to be a certain time, a certain point where you're going to have to deal with an issue, deal with a situation. And when you have family, you know, family is always, there's always going to be, like, it's not always going to be a clear road. There's always going to be some uncertainty. So those are necessary stresses you're going to have to deal with in order to improve, get better. But she also touched on some unnecessary stresses, like stresses that your peers bring into your life, such as, like, you know, you have to be in a relationship with someone, or you have to be on the social scene, go to all these parties. Those are certain things that your peers or you, even yourself might bring in, influence you into doing certain things that you don't necessarily have to deal with. You don't have to give in to peer pressures in certain aspects. You know, you at the end of the day, you make those decisions and just focus on what's necessary, what's important to you. And if that's not important to you, keep on keeping on.
Yeah, that's some great advice. You know, Christina, in a way, you're lonely,
yeah,
and very much alone. And in a way, you're standing up for yourself.
Right.
You're being who you are and going against the grain. That's courageous. It's courageous for an adult, but especially for a teenager. You know, because all of our tendency is to just, you know, go along.
Right.
Go along. That's what we humans do. So you're taking the courageous route. And, you know, I treat patients, and I've worked with men and women who are in their 40s and 50s and finally wake up and say, that's not me. You know, what I've been doing all these years, that's not me. And they stopped doing it, and it's, you know, took them all those decades to wake up to who they are. It's a great lesson. And, you know, Christina and Caroline, it's a painful lesson. You know, it's a very painful lesson. But, boy, it's a good one. Did you want to say something?
I just wanted to say, like, you're not always alone. If you need to, speak up. Like, when I started talking to my dad and how I felt, it started changing. You know, they won't know unless you tell them. They don't know you're having suicidal thoughts unless you tell them. They won't know. So in order to get help, you just got to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, you know, there's three words in the English language that take a lot of courage to say, and that's, please help me.
Right.
It takes an enormous amount of courage to say those three words. Took me a long time to be comfortable with those three words.
And how did you get comfortable with it, Dan?
I just said them so many damn times. You know, when you have to say it about 10 times a day, 100 times a week or so, you know, you get used to it. You know, I used to be so ashamed of that. I hated it. I wouldn't say it. I deprived myself of things, pretending to be more independent than I was. And finally, when I said those words, my life got easier, much easier. I was able to get some of the things I wanted, and I felt ashamed of it at first, my dependency, my neediness. I felt ashamed of it. And now, you know, when I've learned that when you ask somebody to help you, it's a gift to them. You know, it makes them feel good about their lives. I've been on both ends of that formula, and it works.
So could you repeat those three words again, just in case somebody missed it?
Please help me.
I've been thinking too much. Help me. I've been thinking too much. Help me.
Coming up next, how do you cope with violence in your neighborhood and peer pressure?
It was about 4, 5, or 6 deaths just in like a 3-block radius of my house.
I'm Larry Roebling, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to this Voices in the Family special with Dr. Dan Gottlieb and his guests, Marty Gillen and 10 area teens. How are their lives different than 2 generations ago? Today, for many, violence is always in the back of their minds.
Greg, tell us where you live and what the area you live in is like.
I've been in the Alney area pretty much my entire life. I think my community in particular, I think it's safer than most of the other neighborhoods in that environment. But as a whole, I think it can be dangerous being there at times, especially when you hear violence, whether it's like gunshots or you hear emotional violence online and stuff like that. A lot of that goes on through our community. I'm pretty sure there was about 4, 5, or 6 deaths just in my, like a 3-block radius of my house.
What's that like for you?
You get nervous on a day-to-day basis. Like when you hear someone that you've known, someone that you've seen before has unfortunately met that untimely death, you start to think like, wow, like maybe I should switch up my route pattern. Maybe I should, you know, maybe not go outside today. Wow, maybe I should, you know, try to take an Uber or a Lyft or something.
Do you?
Sometimes. But at the end of the day, like the thing about life is that like you encounter so much that you only think about a certain issue, a certain topic for so long before another one starts to creep in or another issue starts to creep in or something else that you have to put your mind towards.
For example, in your life.
So like, you know, when I'm walking to school in the morning, there could be a certain point in time where I'm thinking, wow, maybe I shouldn't take this route because it's not the safest. But then there are other times where I'm so distracted, like, wow, I really have to, like, this is a huge grade for me. Like, I have to turn in this assignment today. Or, wow, like, I have 3 meetings after school today. I really have to hone in and review all my material first. And, like, I could end up taking that route that I said I didn't feel like taking that day.
Well, that could be good news and that could be bad news, you know. Have you ever been a victim of violence?
Yeah. One time I got off the train. In the wintertime, it gets pretty dark early on. So I think it was around like 7 or 8 o'clock. I just gotten off the train and two men flashed a gun at me and they asked me for my phone and my wallet. Funny thing, I didn't really have a wallet back then, so I just gave them the phone.
How do you cope with that fear, living with fear every day? I mean, you go to Christa Ray, which is a private school. It's a high achieving school. How do you focus? How do you, you know, with all that stress in the morning and in the evening when you're going home?
How do I deal with it? I mean, you have to. On a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, you hear about these people who've like come from nothing or started from nothing, and they were in the same situations that you were in, probably even worse. And so when you're at your lowest point and you feel like you don't have anywhere to go. Like, you think about those people, and if they can overcome their obstacles, why can't you overcome your obstacles? I feel like for the longest time now, I've been using my environment, using like the dangerous society that I may live in as an excuse for me to, you know, slack off, for me not to do something. And I feel like instead of using it as an excuse, use it as motivation.
What brings you joy? What makes you happy?
I think being my true self on a regular basis. I feel like sometimes I try too hard to be someone that I'm not, just so I could, you know, fit in or please other people.
I'm going to ask you the same question again, if you don't mind. What brings you joy? It's a hard question.
No, it really is.
It's heartbreaking that it's a hard question. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Marianna, hi.
Hi.
You just graduated from Lower Merion High School.
Yep.
So, and you're leaving for college.
I am, very soon.
What's that like?
So it's like, it's kind of hard because it's such a change and I'm not like really good at change. So it's a little nerve-wracking to say the least.
Scary, I would imagine. I want to talk about peer pressure. Mm-hmm. Lower Merion High School has been in the news several times,
yes.
And not for good things.
I know.
You know, for major drug busts there.
Yeah.
So you were in school.
I was. I knew some of the people.
So tell me about peers, friends.
Well, in high school is like when you really start like realizing who is your true friend, and a lot of friendships will change. I had a friend who I was so close with from 7th grade to like maybe the beginning of senior year, and she changed so much, kind of for the worse, a little bit for the better, but not by too much, and it like brought like a light to who you should be around with and who you shouldn't. At one point I got involved with people I shouldn't have, gotten a lot of trouble like my sophomore year, but I made a turnaround. And now I have, like, really good friends. I'm happier. So you have to be really careful.
Tell me about that turnaround.
I stopped hanging out with the people who were causing a lot of problems.
I want to know about that turnaround in your head. Like, not what you did, but what was I thinking? In your head and heart, yeah.
I got in like really big trouble my sophomore year. I got caught smoking. I literally left campus, skipped a class, started smoking with this kid and got caught. And just watching like my parents like and their reaction to like what I did was just so heartbreaking for me, cuz like I hate just like being the reason that they're upset. And I did not like seeing my dad being really upset with me. And my mom was like crying, and that was like the hardest thing I'd ever seen. And so I was like, I'm going to make sure I keep them happy as much as I can. And I tried as much as possible to change everything I was doing.
So tell me about social media.
I'm actually on it a lot. I was on it a lot more like early on in high school, but now I've kind of just scaled back and I'm more private. Because a lot of the things I used to tweet were, like, too personal, and then I would have them, like, used against me. So to play it safe, I just kind of, like, go on occasionally, and I'll just talk to friends, like, just through text, really, or Snapchat. I don't, like, try to post too much now.
You know, I want to turn to you, Marty, for a second here. She said, and now I'm more private. And is that a theme that you hear, that people shy away from social media, shy away from risk in a way of being exposed or being hurt?
For the first time, the last 3 years, the youth's voice tells us that they're burdened with social media, that they find it a burden. I don't know if you feel that way or not, but that it keeps them awake at night, because if they hear it in a clink, they get up to see what's going on. And so that they try not to pay as much attention to it as they used to. And they keep changing from Facebook to Twitter to Snapchat to whatever the other one is. Get them all confused. So we're finding that the generation are telling us from all across the spectrum that social media is becoming a burden. Do you think that's true?
Greg?
No, it definitely is true. Like, I have I have a surplus amount of friends, and like, it's ridiculous how at any point in time, regardless of the environment, like, they're constantly on it. You know, they use it as like a time of leisure. They use it even when they're in an intense conversation with somebody. It's ridiculous. Like, I get bored of it pretty quickly.
We've been talking about social media, and I'm curious about what that does to your attention span.
I think with social media, like, a lot of people have become like goldfish, where it's like their attention span has like decreased. Like, I heard at one point, like, humans have like a very large attention span as they become like adults. But as soon as they use social media, it like decreases like incredibly. And it's really interesting to see, because I'm someone who uses social media a lot, but I kind of don't also. Like, I might post here and there, but I don't let social media run my life, because, you know, human interaction is something that, like, I love. I love human interaction. But social media takes away from that interaction, and a lot of people are moving towards social media because of that, because we feel alone at, like, most times. And it allows you to be alone, but with a lot of attention. It allows you to sit in your house and post, like, a quick selfie or whatever, and a lot of people will see it, and you feel loved. You feel, like, constant gratification from social media. So,
you said, Micaiah, you said two different words.
Two different words.
Yeah, you said loved, and then you said constant gratification.
Yeah.
They're two different things. Do you feel both?
No, but I know from, like, I have a 13-year-old sister, and my parents let her have social media. So, yeah, I know that it's both.
What advice would you give to your parents about your sister?
So, I'm more so, like, I'm the one, sometimes I feel like I'm the parent in the situation. Because I'm like, listen, guys, I don't think you should let her have this. In my own experience, or what I've seen from friends and people I've talked to, I don't really think it's a good idea for her to have at such a young age.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else who have a comment about anything we've talked about, or what your lives are like, or what adults need to know in your lives?
I don't want to change the topic completely, but this is kind of changing the topic completely. See, I live with a strict mom. And this has to go with communication with parents. I really feel like I can't talk to my mom because all I hear is no. Like, she won't let me explain what, like, I would like to do. So, like I said earlier, all she does is make me focus on education. Like, I have a 9:30 curfew and I'm almost 18. I can't do anything because I have to do schoolwork or I have to look at colleges. Like, I can't talk to boys because they're going to distract me from schoolwork, or I can't hang out with friends because they're going to distract me. Like, she doesn't understand that as a teenager, I have to make mistakes to learn from them before I get to be an adult.
So if I'm your mother, talk to me. What do you want me to know?
I feel like I should want her to know that she gives me freedom, but she's not giving me so much freedom that I can make mistakes and I need to learn from them before I go to college and make those mistakes and not know what to do.
You know what? It does sound so, so restricting for you. What's your guess about what it's like to be your mother also?
Well, I've always been the good child. I've always been, like, the star child, and I feel like I can't let her down because I'm the good child, so.
I'm going to ask it again, Sam. What do you think it's like to live inside your mother's skin?
I think she's scared. She already lost another child, like, one child, and she doesn't want to lose me again, but I feel as though she's going to lose me sooner or later. Like, I'm going to grow up. I'm going to be my own adult, my own person, and I'm not going to be with her, like, forever. I'll talk to her, but I'm not going to be there 24/7.
Do you have the kind of relationship with your mom? And I'm taking a page out of Marty's book from Speak Up. Could you imagine a time when you and your mom could sit down and she could talk about her great fears and loss, if she could, and you could listen, and you could talk about how you feel suffocated sometimes?
I mean, don't get me wrong. My mother and I, we have a good relationship, and we joke around, but it's like lighthearted conversation. We've never really had a deep conversation about our feelings. She's just not that type of person. She doesn't talk about her feelings.
Have you tried?
I've tried, but I just get like a constant no or get out my face. She's not a touchy-feely type person.
Yeah, there's a lot of that going around. I'm sorry things are so difficult for you. Marty, how could you be helpful for Sam?
We have 10 children, and I'm like your mother. I find it hard to kind of express my feelings, but I find it easier to write them. Maybe for me, sometimes I'd be afraid of my child rejecting me, so I wouldn't want to be open and honest. And when you've lost a child, I'm going to cry, sometimes it's too painful to talk about for your mom, but it might be easier for her to write it. I find it's easier to talk to someone about a third party. So when we go into the schools and talk, I will say to them, this is what your generation tells us, because this is what we've learned, whatever it might be. And then lots of times with your mother, you could say, this lady at Speak Up, it's always nice to have a scapegoat. She said she finds it hard to talk about her losing her son, and she finds it hard to talk about her feelings. Tell me, Mom, do you feel that way? And lots of times that'll open the conversation. You could try it.
We've listened to a lot of young people here from all walks of life, from all perspectives, and from different histories. What have you heard in common? What are some of the common themes you've heard?
Today?
Mm-hmm.
Pain. I've heard a lot of pain. And you've certainly experienced pain. I've experienced pain. And I think that you can do positive things. I think you can turn the pain around to do positive things. And I think maybe listening to each other can help you do that. Today, I think listening to each other's story, you know, you're not the only one that has a story. Everybody has a story. Some are worse than others. And one thing I think is really pretty amazing is you are an amazing generation. You have taught my generation many, many things. And you think we don't listen. And one of my children used to say, you hear me, but you're not listening to what I say. And she might have been right. I think she was right. So, but one of my joys, one of the greatest joys of my life is spending time with your generation. I'm sure you feel that way, Dan.
I do.
And we can learn a lot from you. So don't be afraid to teach us.
So I think just listening to people who are my age, like, say their stories, and I think, like Marty said, that everyone has a story and some are worse than others. I think that even though your stories are really bad, like, even though people my age, like, and I hear them speak, I think that that's really amazing that they can still, like, live their life and, like, overcome that and, like, keep moving and, like, think about their futures.
Really speaks about resilience of the human spirit. You know, we come back.
Yeah, really.
And that's the beauty of what I've seen and heard today. So thank you for pointing that out.
And can I say something? I think when they come back, 9 out of 10 times you bring somebody with you.
Okay. I'm so grateful to you guys. I really am. You've been wonderful.
This has been a Voices in the Family special with Dr. Dan Gottlieb and his guest Marty Gillen from speakup.org. They were speaking with 10 area teens. If you'd like to be part of our live audience at our next taping, keep an eye on the WHYY events page for more information. And talk to us on Twitter. We're at Voices in the Fam. We'd love to hear from you. Just in case you were wondering, we also talk to parents. You can find that Dr. Dan Extra on our website. You might have noticed new music. We have Basil Dubrowski, Violet McShane, and Angelina DeMonte to thank for bringing Dr. Dan and me up to speed on what's on the record player these days. Yeah, it was a leap. The engineers for today's show were Al Banks and Diana Martinez. Elizabeth Perez Luna is executive producer of WHYY Audio Content. Mike and Scott is Voices executive producer. For Dr. Dan Gottlieb, I'm Larry Roebling, producer of Voices in the Family.
Have a good week, my friends. And the week after that. And the week after that. And the week after that.